Open with me, Ecclesiastes once again, chapter 5, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we are reading from verse 8 up to the end, up to verse 20. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 5, verse 8 up to the end. Thus says the Lord. If you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter. For high official watches over high official, and higher officials are over them. Moreover, the profit of the land is for all. Even the king is served by the field. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit are the owners except to see them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches kept for their owner to his heart. But those riches perish through misfortune. When he begs, he begets the son, there is nothing in his hand. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a severe evil, just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and danger and anger. Here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God, for he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you again that you've given us yet another chance to open this amazing book and try to meditate upon the words in it that alone give eternal life. May you help us, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit, our teacher, that you promised us and you really sent him, he dwells in us. Let him use me to teach us, to explain this word to us, to the glory of our great King Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you'll be with us, even those who might be on the way coming to join us. And Lord, you'll bring them safely so that we continue benefiting from this word together, to the glory and honor of our great Redeemer. We pray these things. Amen. Yeah, remember the first part of chapter 5, that's from verse 1 up to verse 7, that we covered last Sunday. We learned a great deal. We learned a lot of lessons from there on how we need to come before the Lord. We need to be very careful what we do when we are in the presence of the Lord. I cannot repeat that, but he just said we need to be prudent, very, very careful how we come, how we behave, what we say before the Lord. And down here, this brother who tested everything and tried to experience everything, comes back again. This is the book of vanities. The book of vanities. It talks about vanity after vanity, vanity after vanity. Vanity simply means chasing after the wind. nothingness. And he's talking down here about two things that disturb humankind: gain and honor, or power and honor. These two things really disturbed human beings from the beginning of our presence on this planet to now as I'm speaking. If you can remember our first parents, what put them down was not gain, it was power. But obviously, gain comes with power. When you get some position somewhere, yes, it gain follows. But our first parents were put down by power. They wanted to be like the Most High. When they heard from the serpent that he does not want to eat you to eat from this fruit, because he knows that the day you eat from this fruit you'll be just like him, and Eve could not wait to say, beg your pardon, come again, be like him. And that's when she went immediately and ate, and immediately said, Adam. And who was, according to scripture, next to her? Have you just heard what this one, the serpent has said? So it was power. Because if the human beings were not interested, naturally interested in power, then they could say, no. If he stopped us from eating from this fruit because he does not want us to be like him, we are also not interested, we could not be in all these troubles. And if in you find really that urge of power, an urge of money, you want to amass things, money and property and what, yeah, that's just part of you. Remember in the morning we say that no human being, all human beings have nothing they possess, nothing that they can call theirs except sin. And now here, it begins with the vanity of honor. The vanity of power. That it begins the verse 8 with that. And he says, if you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness in a province, do not marvel at the matter. For high official watches over, high official and higher officials are over them. What does he mean here? He's talking of a province, any area, a district, a country. And so if you see oppression of the poor, why was he talking like this? Because this was common in Israel then. It was very common. You know, they had the system of slaves, and slaves were being, they were considered as property, personal property of their masters. So if they ask you, what things do you have to know that, so that we know that really you are somewhere, and you start naming them, I have a car, or I have two cars, I have three houses, I have this and this, I have seven servants. So they were considered as property. And as we learned in the morning, there was too much oppression against the poor, too much oppression. The operation that the masters were, putting on their slaves, where you can go and dig, you dig, then you plant, you scatter the seed, and the seed, you get even the seed, the guy is just enjoying life himself, then you go and harvest, only to give everything to him. That was going on, and this was, Solomon is going back to, so telling you and me, if you see the oppression of the poor and the violent perversion of justice and righteousness, they break them every day. And he says, do not marvel at the matter. What does he mean here? Don't be surprised at the matter. Which matter is this? The matter here is, if you go to Hebrew language, you see that the matter here is you questioning God.
I said, but God, how can you allow all this to take place? Too much oppression, no justice, nothing. So you are just surprised God really can take pleasure at such things, horrible things, and is just there looking. Where are you? So, don't matter. God is there. And the answer follows. So don't be surprised. God is watching over everything. And he says, because high officials, this is another vanity of power. High official watches over high official, and higher officials are over them. So now you find this one who is making you shake also has got someone above him that makes him shake. And that one also has got someone who makes him shake, just like that. If you watch news sometime back, I don't know whether it was this year or last year, maybe early this year or last year, when there was a saga on a plot, I think along Entebbe Road, a big plot of land, yeah, near airstrip, Kajasi airstrip, and two big people in the government were fighting for that, you know. And they sent this commission that is looking after land grabbers, sent their soldiers to go and the officials plus some police to protect them, to go and see the area. When they reached there, they found some people there, and when these people saw the police with the guns, they trembled. Because some people above them have arrived. But now another guy came immediately. I don't know how he knew. Immediately we saw a car reached there, and some guy came out of it just in civilian. And he was like, and who are you guys? What do you want on this land? No, we are coming from the commission that is following these matters, blah, blah, blah. And he told them, no, please, don't continue, just stop there. I just plead with you, go back. And this guy was like, who are you to tell us to go back? Just go back. They started sort of, some chaos there. This guy just got a phone, the one who came, and rang. And someone big came in a military uniform. And this guy said, oh, immediately. So this is what this guy is saying here. You see them in the military, you see them. So this one trembles before this, this one before that. But, it continues like that. If you come in our country, for example, from local council one, when local council comes, this one trembles. Local council three comes, this one also trembles. Just like that, like that. You reach up to the president, but even the president, if you read the text well, has got officials over them. And some commentators say officials here means the triune God. I'm not sure. But the only thing that we know is that when you follow the rank of power, it ends with King Jesus. Because Jesus Christ is the only king that God the Father appointed. He is king in heaven, king on earth, king everywhere under the earth. Being on earth, Jesus Christ is ruling, he is king. Go to heaven, you'll find Jesus Christ there ruling. He's the only king that the universe knows. The only king that the Father appointed. So now, all these authorities that people are struggling for and fighting for, they end with Jesus. They end with Christ, the ultimate king, the ultimate authority. And now, if you see now, this Kano who's trying to terrorize people in Alumunya, for example, when he passes here, people tremble and say, oh, Kano, and if an order comes from somewhere else, you see him also on his knees. Oh, I'm sorry. I'll not disturb people of Nalumi again. I'm sorry. So now, you see this Kano. He is big. But you find him also on his knees. That's where the vanity of honor, the vanity of power is. That's where the vanity, because everyone, in our country, the president is the highest authority. Yeah, when you ask a Muganda or a Mutoro, a Mukonjo, these who still have kings, they'll tell you, no, it's my king. But they deceive. They deceive. That's just self-deception. Your king cannot be as stronger as the president of the country. It's just period. Your king controls just your entity. If it's Uganda, Uganda. If it is Toro, it's Toro. But Museveni rules all over. So the president is the highest authority. But do you think, the Bible says when you read Daniel, it says that this will shine in the glory of this, but because there is glory, there's a difference between glory and glory. The glory of the firmament, the glory of the light of the moon, and the glory of the light of the sun, the glory of the light of the stars forever and ever. There is glory and glory. Presidents are there when Bill Clinton was ruling. If you can remember, or if you at all you follow news, when Bill Clinton many years now ago was ruling and he came to visit the country, Uganda. It was Bill Clinton, very well, the president of the United States of America. I saw in my own eyes the bodyguards of our president being checked by the bodyguards of Bill Clinton. These are the bodyguards that, you know, stand next to the president. That's not something small. It's not. That's something big. You are ever behind the first office, the first authority in the land. Ever behind him. And the rest of us fear them. Because even if you are an MP or what, you cannot approach the president unless they allow you. Should I allow him to come next to you? Or else they'll just push you there to see them also being searched by the bodyguards of the President of the United States. And I was like, these guys were almost searching our own president before he goes to meet their own president. And you just really, this is what this man is saying here, but above all, just you live knowing that all these people who are making you tremble here because they have power here, and they are maybe religious power, political power, traditional power, all those end with King Jesus, King over all kings. He rules everything. The Lion of Judah is above everything, above everyone. And when we go to verse 9, all that up to down, it is now on the vanity of gain, the vanity of wealth. And he says, he who loves silver, in other versions money, will not be satisfied with silver. Nor he who loves abundance with increase. Some good counsel here for us. There are many human beings who love money, increase. That's why you find even the fake prosperity gospel inside church. They point people to more, to amass more wealth and property rather than pointing them to Christ. But this guy, who will ever be as rich as him? Solomon. Who? He touched all the money. Antianenka, that's the Waganda says, new and old. But he is the one telling you that he who loves silver will not be satisfied. It does not satisfy, by the way. And I think we will just stand in that hymn there. The thing, I was searching for the thing that will never, could not satisfy. Education cannot satisfy. Wealth and health cannot satisfy. Even if you are healthy and you are counting out now your fifth year without getting even a flu, so what? So what should we do about you? Me, I get flu every weekend, maybe. So wealth, health, all those will not satisfy. Even those who love abundance, they want just to amass houses and plots of land and things and what, cars, will not be satisfied with the increase of those things. Why? Why? The vanity is in verse 11. Why? Because when goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit are the owners except to see them with their eyes? No, now the money is yours, the things are yours, but God in His wisdom makes you a spectator of your own things. You know, Man U and Arsenal playing there, and you just sit here and just watching from afar. Someone has got all the goods. When the goods increase, money and things, and the Lord, what He does, my friend, He opens on this other side people and things to enjoy that money to the point that you remain at the same level you were before you got those things. And I can bear you witness, I know it very, very well. Very well. Because, let me just give you an example. When you are earning, say, $100,000 per month, that's less than even $50. Yes, sure. It is less than $50. So if you earn that $100,000 per month, one, you cannot have even a motorbike because it consumes fuel. You cannot have a maid because I don't have money to pay someone to help me. So you cannot not have a lot of things. You cannot have maybe even Star Times TV because of that. The fee you pay every month. Because you calculate you have children and you have many other things, you cannot manage to feed them and try to send them to a cheap school and then manage the luxuries like paying for Star Times every month. And so many things you will not have then. So you find you are just living your life. You don't have a TV. You don't have these things. But poof, from 100,000 to 1 million. Now I'll be better. Who told you? Because when you are earning 100,000, you receive one visitor from the village in 12 months. In 1 year, you receive one visitor, because even if you have another brother of yours or sister who lives in the same city on the other area, they come from the village, go to visit him, and go back to the village and they know that you are here at Nalumunye. Why? Simply because they know that. Even if I go there, it will be just, how are they in the village? Okay, you'll greet them for me. Not even a bread. And because therefore, they just abandon you there. Now you are getting 5 million, 1 million, 5 or whichever amount. Do you know, when you start getting 5 million from 100,000, that's why you find people even die. The vanity of gain. People die. Why? Especially we who are not really we don't know how to behave. You start going to those restaurants in town. You call them mega standard restaurants. But there are many there. There are many really that are there, ready there to kill you. They are there. The owners are killing you at your mercy, from your pocket. You make them rich, and they make you eat those fried stuff every day, and you boast. You tell your people, now I eat chicken every lunch there in mega restaurant. Fried chicken, fried whatever, all those things. After 6 months, the stomach comes, the body comes, and it comes with a lot of diseases. So follow me well. So your money has brought you diseases, pressure, diabetes, and blah, blah, blah. The treatment of those diseases is piercing your pocket. A lot of money is going. And that's not you alone. Look at your wife. Look at your children. Obese. If you are not sick today, it will be your wife. Tomorrow, your son. And a lot of money is just going like that in sicknesses, which you were not. When you are footing from Nalumunye to Kampala, Matera House and back. And when you are footing, you say, but God remember me. Not knowing that you are exercising your body to help you grow old, strong. But now you bought a car, it's there. Even you want to say, these kids are not around, and yet I want to get something, maybe raise a plate from this generation supermarket here. You enter the garage, friends, I'm telling you what I know people who drive just to go and buy something like their generation and back. That car, it's the fuel. Do you know how much it pierces my pocket? If it was not there, I would be better than I am today. To be sincere, leave the fuel aside. It behaves. Sometimes you can put it there, it's okay, no problem. Go tomorrow morning. You saw it happened here, even someone has to come and help me fix it on Sunday. It slept well without any problem. You wake up tomorrow morning, it refuses. You know how much I gave? 500,000. So you just see the 500,000 go. It makes you a spectator of how someone else is chewing your money. Because you have no other option. It has to take me to the seminary to study. It was in too much pain. Until I started pleading the mechanic, can you just leave me with at least 50,000 to keep up my home? Okay, but you get the little whatever you count 1, 2, 3. Okay, you go. And really, you find that when you pay this bill, electricity bill, water bill, TV bill, car, school fees, and all. Remember, when you are down, your children are schooling at a school where they pay 50,000, just an example, per term. But now they are paying 1,000,000 per term. And you have 3. That is 3,000,000. Will you be rich? You just remain where you were. You just improve a little bit, but you just remain the way you were when you are getting 100 or 200,000 per month. This is what the Bible is teaching us here, that whenever the money increases, the things to eat that money. You see, even the level where I am now. If only you add me 5,000,000 on my pay, immediately, that day you tell me, you start getting 5,000,000 more on your money next month. That before even I get that money, I start thinking immediately, but my dear wife, I think we also need a car for you. You see, they just come automatically, the things to eat that money. They come, the relatives come, and they started talking, our brother is not, he does not have love, our sister does not have love. Remember, but when you are coming from the village, you go to the other brother there in Zambia, and you go back to the village. Didn't you know that I was around? No, at least you need to support the family. Money goes. And it's the Lord who allowed human beings to be chasing after the wind like this for a reason. He is the one. Let's proceed. 12. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. Who is this laboring man? This laboring man is the other oppressed. Those slaves, because their work was, what their duty was to labor day and night. Do this and do that. Do this and do that. This guy is just a boss, sits there. So, this guy, laboring man, when you send him to your huge garden to dig, you don't know that you are helping him remain fit. So, that digging every day, that's doing hard work every day, makes him fit. So he goes month after month with that disease. And he has nothing to disturb him, whether he eats little or much. When he goes on his bed, he gets sleep immediately. Immediately. But they contrast him with his boss. But the abundance of the rich will not permit him to sleep. And many things will not allow you to sleep if you have a lot of money. You don't trust yourself even when you are driving. You just think some people are following you. You reach somewhere, you stop your car, you want to lower the glass to ask for something. Someone passing that, you feel things are coming for you. Maybe because inside the car you have maybe 10 million, 50 million, or 100 million. So there you fear more, by the way, when you are carrying like a lot of money. You just think each and every person on the street knows that you have that money. And you become now a suspicious when you are walking like this. You know, I remember some time back I carried on a border more than 20 million. And you know, even this border guy, you think he knows that you have it. Those just people who are following you, you think that just you just want to go somewhere and deposit maybe in the bank. And yet no one knows. There is a severe evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches kept for their owner to his heart. What does that mean? The riches you've amassed, centers of gagawo, you keep them wherever, whether in the bank, in your house, wherever, to your own heart. Gurumi wo, you the rich man. What do they mean here? What's the source of your heart, of your pain? It is everyone's attention will now be on you. In the area, until you are the number one on this hill, you're number one. Even your friends itself, if only you could give someone this money, they have a nice plot of land and a house in it. So now the attention of all the robbers here are on you. The jealous people in your family, your friends, on you, and they want to climb here because they believe if only they can break through this house and put you at gunpoint, you will give them a lot. So now, and you find that many people die because of that. There's a program that I sometimes follow on Sunday here in the night after Gatari Konfufu about Philo Kumeza, about how people are getting murdered in this. And you find that, okay, some it's because of their political whatever, but many it's because of their money. Some rich businessman from Kampala, he was just driving from there when he reached home. He was now honing from town so that people come and open for him. No one came, so he left his car, came to try to open, and people came immediately. So your own money is working at your own heart. Some people have been left with bruises, and many have lost their lives. So he's showing us the vanity of money, of riches, that many churches are fighting for, that many churches are preaching daily on their pulpits. You need to be rich so that the world knows that you are the prince, the child of the king. You need to be rich. I wonder whether they read the whole Bible. I wonder whether they read here. They've ever read here. Whether if they read here. And if they do, I wonder how they can explain here such passages. Obviously, they have their passages that they preach from. For them, as Pastor Kalifungwa says, they read the Bible the way a chicken eats. Selecting here and there. They don't read throughout. So they can't come here because this speaks against them. But 14. But those riches perish through misfortune. Your money. Or someone will come and try to show himself good to you so that he can call you. That is misfortune. Come, men, come. And this is the evil thing of this world, friends. You need to be very, very careful. I always tell you and always warn you of those things that you cherish and you love. They take a lot of time
from you, from reading the scriptures. I'm talking about Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram and whatever you want to call them. Those things are so evil. Those things are so evil, and you really wonder that in this world, friends, we just need to be in Christ. Be in Christ so that whatever happens to you anytime you are in Christ. But what this guy sang here in Uganda and said, you see, when you get known, you become like a mango on top of a mango tree. That whoever is passing is seeing it because it's right there. And everyone sees it, and whoever sees it wants to get a stone and throw on it so that they can fall and they eat it. I wonder really how, and you know, we have some people who are experts in IT, so they know how to work to manipulate these things of Facebook, so that they get the picture of your friends. Two people have done that to me twice. Facebook and WhatsApp get they can get like a picture of Sean Reese, your dear brother that you have no doubt with. They get, I don't know how they get the information. So you just see Sean Reese from Heart Cry writing to you and say, Brother Bill, I'd like us to do this and this. You go and check the profile, all the information is exactly the way you know Sean Reese. And yet it's not Sean Reese. These are con men. Someone sending me to go and get a car at the U.S. Embassy. I think I told you guys. And you see, this is the my friend I know from Oklahoma. And remember, I just come from Oklahoma, and they are telling me, oh yeah, when you are in Oklahoma, we are also there, but I don't know who would have cast up there. And but good enough, the wisdom. But friends, let me tell you that the only thing that is helping us survive is the love of Christ that He poured in our hearts that removes the love of money. That's the only solution. Otherwise, if you have both the love of Christ and the love of money, you will fall prey anytime. One called me again over 2 weeks ago, telling me, "No, I'd like you to come and we meet in town. Don't entertain such. They're going to behead you. They'll chop your head for no reason." Another one, when we had our conference in June here, our pastor's conference here, we are having it in 2 days' time. He writes to me, he emails me, say, "No, we are reformed. We know that Uganda does not have reformed what churches, but we learned from Heart Cry that you guys are doing a great work there. So, and we are coming to Uganda. It's a team of white. I don't know. We are eight coming to do what to plant churches, but we need at least a local to work with, and we saw you." To be sincere, when you read the email, without the wisdom of Jesus Christ, you succumb. And we are more interested in training pastors. Why is just you are talking of these things that we do? Until I started asking them questions, I told them, point blank, you are con men. And you guys, you are just Ugandans here, somewhere in Uganda here. You have nothing to do with whites. You are con men. They cut their words. Immediately, they stopped. So, you see really that those riches perish through misfortune. When he and this guy was very rich, when he begets a son, when he gets now a son, there is nothing in his hand to leave behind for this child. And the child is now suffering, going to school, footing. And people in the area just look at the kid whenever he goes and comes back from school and say, "Can you believe this is the son of the other tycoon who used to have even 10 cars? He could change cars every week. He could not drive one car two days. But everything gone to the point that you have nothing to leave behind for this child you've just produced. As he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came." Oh, it reminds me of the words of Job. Job who said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I'll go."
you not carry anything, not even a needle. And here God managed us, human beings. He managed us seriously. You go up and down, you say, when I'm still strong, before I'm old, I need to work hard and get things and money and bank accounts and property. Only not to take even a needle when you leave. And if you are lucky, they only get one of your suits and put you in. Only one of your suits. You leave everything behind. And the preacher says down here, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. Nothing. They cannot even put a coin of 500 shillings in your hand. At least this man was hard working, and he has left trillions and trillions of shillings in banks. At least a coin. Don't just tell him that you've left a lot of money behind. Nothing. 16 says, and this also is a severe evil. He says it's not only an evil, it is a big, it's a great evil. What is this? Is he calling severe, great evil? He repeats what he said in verse 15. Just exactly as he came, so shall he go. And what profit has he who has labored for his, for the wind? Now, ofuni dewa. What profit? Everything, your academic papers, you leave behind, and none will use them. Not your son, not your daughter, not your grandson. You leave all down. You leave everything down. He said, this is a great evil. All his days, he also eats in darkness. What was he meaning here? This guy, all his life, he was eating in darkness. In other words, he was barely eating because he was after money, chasing after money. To eat in darkness, this means he wants to leave home at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. It is still dark. He wants to go to town to chase after money. So he gets something because, you know, once I reach Kampala, I'll be very busy. I don't get time to eat anything there. So he eats something at his home in darkness, goes to Kampala, then the light comes, the day comes, gets busy up and down. Let's eat. No, I don't have time to eat this. Good enough, I put something under my stomach before I left. Like that, and he breaks again the day at 10 p.m. He reaches home very tired. Okay, I'm hungry now, give me something. He eats again in darkness because of looking for money. That's what he means here. All his days he also eats in darkness, and he has much sorrow and sickness and anger because of just chasing after money. A lot of sickness. People make you sick. And that one, when you attempt to balance your books, you think, no, this one has got a big debt. He has not paid it. And this one again. And this one, you get sick. These rich people get heart attacks. They are always angry. But for you, when are you going to pay back my money? Oh. And from verse 18 to the end, verse 8, he showed us the vanity of power. From verse 9 as well, verse 17, he was showing us the vanity of gain or of riches. From verse 8, he sums up his teachings with a godly counsel from himself. So he's now trying to advise us what we should do. And he says, here is what I have seen. Me now. I tried all those avenues. Now, listen to me. This is my advice. It is good to and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him. For it is his heritage. So he says, okay, friends, it's no problem. Enjoy your money. You hear people boasting and say, okay, I work for money, but now my money is working for me. So bring, bell lager, bring this, my money is working for me. It's okay. The preacher says, enjoy. And it's good for one to enjoy, eat, do, buy cars, let them carry you, because that's your heritage. It's what you've got from the Lord. I like the way he ends here. Let's go to 19. As for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Some people did not get that chance. So, and yes, the Lord brought us into this world, people with different advantages and what. In the morning we went through that, you remember. In the morning we talked of people have advantages and opportunities, but they don't utilize them. Some people, but you got the advantage of going all over the world. They are ever in planes, in trains, in buses, and where. But another one is telling you, I don't know when I've ever crossed the border to reach even Kisumu, Kenya. That's where I'm going to praise the Lord. So that's how God brought his people. This one like this, and that one like that. Others even die without stepping Kampala, the capital city of their country. And some people get wealth, but they are not given chance to enjoy that wealth. It's just a rich guy, they are full of diseases that the doctors told him, don't. He has got a long list of don'ts. Don't eat chicken, don't eat this, no fish, no meat. So now you check the list of do's, what he can eat. You say, but now, how are you going to enjoy your money? How now? Because all the things that really make someone, who we don't booze, we are Christians, but we also have the way we enjoy our money, if the Lord gives you that chance. Yes. Yes. Once in a while you go to that expensive restaurant in town there, one plate, 100,000. Yes. You eat that chicken, you eat that what, but make sure when you eat those every day, you are killing yourself. Okay? But other people, the Lord is amazing. We can't exhaust, we can't comprehend this God. He gives you money. He gives you money, he gets the avenues of you enjoying from that money. This one is poor, but he gives him all the appetites. Who has got an appetite like a poor person? All the appetites. You see, when you invite them at the parties, they're the ones who, on the tables, when they're serving themselves a huge plate of food, and where they sit, they eat everything. But go and look at these rich people now. Even to eat, do they eat? Just very little like this. No, I'm satisfied. Have you eaten? The Lord is amazing. He gives you money that you can't enjoy. But some, and that chance. This is what the preacher is saying here, 19. For as for every man to whom, he's talking about those to whom God has given riches and wealth, and he has also given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor. This is also from the hand of God. It is from the hand of God. You just need to say thanks. Thank you, God. Even whenever you want to sip anything, any drink, you want to eat anything, just give thanks. Just give him thanks, because how many people, friends, when you go to hospitals, you find sick people that can't eat anything. It cannot remain there. Anything that goes back. Everything. But when you sit down, They prepare fish. It smells nice to you. That's also a grace from God. Do you know that we take things for granted? Just a mere nice smell from your wife's kitchen. You are in the sitting room, she's in the kitchen, she's preparing fish for supper or lunch, and my dear, some nice aroma is coming from there. Even that is from the hand of God. How many sick people tell you, it is smelling bad to me. What do you want now? I need chicken, not fish. They go and buy a chicken, they cut its head, they prepare it, because they want him to eat something or have to eat something at least. Only to bring the chicken there. You still have a business. What's that? The chicken you ask for. No. It smells bad. They will get it far from me. Even the smell. When you sit and the wife brings food, puts it in, it smells nice. And you start salivating, you start swallowing saliva. Even that is a gift from God. You don't take it for granted. You wash your hands, or you can get whatever you want to, or fork, you eat that chicken, that fish, that kalo, that matoke, and it goes down. You feel the sweetness, and it goes down until it remains there. You go and sleep till morning. All those are gifts from God. But you hear someone tell you, God, you don't love me. Why don't you give me a kalo? Do you know that every part of your life is from the hand of God? Every single part of your life. With just everything, even that. He gives you children, you produce and you see them grow. That is from the hand of God. If he grants you chance, you see your grandchildren. That's from the hand of God. Everything. Verse 20. For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life, because God keeps him busy with the joy of his heart. This is the personal trust in the Lord. So that's the counsel of the preacher. He says, enjoy your life, do everything, but know that everything comes from the hand of God. Vanity of power, vanity of riches. And now, this guy from the beginning of his book, he is coming, showing us vanity after vanity, vanity after vanity. Even the things that we love most, the things that we cherish, this guy is just coming to expose them before us that they are also chasing after the wind. And you ask him now, Mr. Solomon, the preacher, are you living with us? What are you living with us now? You talked about vanity of education. Me, I'm chasing after papers. You've talked about vanity of wealth, vanity of honors to be a bishop, an apostle, a prophet, so that people fear you, president, and member of parliament. All that is chasing after them. Now, what are you living with us, my friend? He's living us with Christ. And the reason why, God who created everything, all wise God, He is the one who allowed us to be chasing after the wind. I always keep repeating this to you and I'll continue. He is the one. He's all in all. He allows us to continue chasing after the wind so that Christ is appointed king who remains above everything. So that at the end of the day, you see that now I need to put my eyes on Christ and Christ alone. All these things are here. Does not mean that you should not work. Does not mean that you should not go for education. No. It's just better that you do all those things knowing that all of them are like chasing after the wind. I've traveled countries. We went to escort our brother. I don't want to name the name. He was going back to the U.S. with his wife. Brother knows. And the pastor that we found there where they were, they slept so that tomorrow they travel. He's a Pentecostal pastor. So, you know, okay, he has built a house there, a storied house, and they have a church somewhere here. You know, people you are meeting for the very first time. You don't know each other at all. But you enter his house, the friends introduce us to each other. Okay, this is Pastor Bill, blah blah blah, and this is the pastor, blah blah blah, blah. Then an old guy really in his 60, late 60s, maybe 67, 68 there. Oh, Pastor Bill, where is your church? I said, oh, it is in Malumunye. Okay, mine is just near. I don't have to tell you so that you don't know where. You can know if I continue. Okay, so now, how is ministry? Have you ever been to the U.S.? So what, my friend? We've just met!
just met. I don't know you. You don't know me. Why are you asking me about the U.S.? What is the U.S. to you? And then he comes back. Oh, maybe I've been to 37 states of the U.S. Yeah, that's God has really helped us. Okutambula mawanga to move around the world. So he sees that as something very important, very big. Not knowing that the preacher is telling us that everything that we do, we chase, is chasing after the wind. You want, if your dream is to be also a world traveler, you are chasing after the wind. If your dream is to be one of the rich guys in your village, you are chasing after the wind. If your dream is to marry the most beautiful wife or all those things, to have a 5 PhDs, you are chasing after the wind. Everything you do. Christ Jesus, the power and wisdom of God. He is the power and wisdom of God, Jesus. Because when everything becomes vanity, Jesus alone cannot become vanity. Never. It does not fade away. Christ. What a chance, what a privilege if you can. It's great, by the way. It's great because we did not choose to believe what we believe now. We don't know, I don't know how I came up here. In putting all my trust in Jesus Christ. So that when you are deep in Christ, let all things come. If he gives you a chance to enjoy like this one here, tell him thank you, Lord. If he denies you a chance to enjoy, tell him thank you, God. If he gives you a chance of good health, tell him thank you, God. If he denies you a chance of good health, it is you sickness after sickness, tell him thank you, God, okay? He gives you children, thank you, God. No children, thank you, God. Everything! You thank him. He is all in all. So friends, don't even entertain, not even for a second, the so-called prosperity gospel. It's not. That's why I always put that so-called, because it's not gospel. Because if it's prosperity, then it's not gospel. So that's why I say so-called prosperity gospel. Only Jesus Christ is the gospel. Only the Bible preaches the gospel, not prosperity. So don't entertain that. Let people say what they want to say. Let them call you names. Those people are dry in all the streets. It's okay. It's okay. What they are chasing, I don't know. I don't know whether they know that they are chasing after wind. To be known by the president, to be a friend of the president while a pastor. When you check the situation, what is going on in our country, what comes into your mind? Our country is not at peace. Many years ago, I could not see things that I'm seeing in Uganda, especially Kampala City and the surroundings. And then you wonder, where are we heading to? My answer is, wherever we are heading to, I have Jesus. Wherever we are heading to. And some people say, oh, I wish I can go to live in America. So who told you that America is safe? Who told you that these gunshots you see that are rampant, but it's even more there. Because they have rights of arms, everyone. So even a young kid like this one can just come and say, you, and pah. That's the rampant. So the world is sick. The world is tired. The world needs, and by the way, when I saw these things, people I see on Facebook, right, this one says this, but God, where are you? Are you seeing this? Leave God alone. He wants the situation to deteriorate so that you see the value of Christ. And it's not deteriorating in Uganda alone. In all, each and every country of the world, the situation is alarming. Congolese would like to come to Uganda. Ugandans would like to go to Kenya. Kenyans would like to come to Uganda. Zimbabwean would want to go to South Africa. South Africans would want to go to Zimbabwe. Just like that! Human beings are being confused by the living God. They've been confused so that really Jesus Christ will remain standing there. You put your eyes there and you say, whatever comes, you want to steal my car? Shoot me, shoot, I'll take it. You just help me to go and do it, my Lord. who loved me, who died for me, who has prepared some nice place for me. Jesus is the answer. May the Lord help us really, as we continue learning from this brother who went before us. And he tested whatever you are yearning to test. That you don't, your sleepless night, you don't have to have money, a lot of money. This guy had. And he's now teaching us. Everything is vanity, vanity of vanities. That's how this book begins. All things are vanity. Jesus Christ alone is not vanity. May the Lord help you not to be hearing these words, because you know, when you are here, that's the problem. You now take these words for granted. Our church, yes, we hear these words. So you take them for granted. Do you remember the people of Israel? Because they were the cherished of God, and they lost, they wasted everything. They lost him. A Pentecostal can come here and say, what? We don't hear such a word at our church. But you just, the normal. Every Sunday we hear like that. Every Sunday we hear like that. May the Lord have mercy on you not to take these words for granted. That's the way you hear them. The Lord really speaks mightily to us through scripture in these words. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are before you that you made us be listening to such words. I believe if such a word could be preached in all the churches in Uganda, many people would be saved, would be helped already. But many don't have chance to be exposed to such words. Sunday after Sunday, year after year, they are exposed to rubbish. Their pastors, their church leaders help them chase after the wind, as the preachers as taught in this book. Every Sunday they just teach them on how to chase after the wind. They are given techniques and methods of how they can chase after the wind better. What did we do to be here, not listening to such, but listening to words like everything is vanity except Christ? May you help us, Lord. We are so grateful, and we will forever be grateful for this. But help us that this word does not pass us by. It does not enter here and goes out on the other ear and goes. Help us, Lord, that it will dwell in our hearts and it will help us. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.